NPR and National Geographic are spending a year investigating how climate change affects people. This month, we're focusing on drought. Climate change is expected to make the dry places even drier, and that's bad news for places like Cape Verde. This cluster of islands off the coast of West Africa averages less than 3 inches of rain a year. Droughts have killed tens of thousands of Cape Verdeans and forced many more to immigrate, but the islanders who remain have begun to adapt. And as often happens when people face a changing environment, they're figuring out how technology can help. NPR's John Hamilton reports.
Cape Verde offers two climates, dry and parched. The island of Sal is in the parched category. From the air, it looks like a flattened sand dune. From the ground, it's a moonscape.
There is no rain, only dust and heat.
Emilio Lobo grew up on Sal. A few years ago, he made an odd choice. He decided to become a farmer, despite the lack of water and arable land. Lobo says he found solutions to these problems on the internet. Step inside one of Lobo's greenhouses, and it's as if you found a portal to another place on Earth. The air is moist, the light is soft, and there are rows and rows of glistening, flawless produce.
A tomato, cucumber, pepper, zucchini, and lettuce.
Lobo walks down a row of lettuce. They're growing in a white plastic trough several feet above ground. A pump streams water and nutrients past the dangling roots of each plant.
This is a variety from Brazil, which is one that it can hold better the heat.
Lobo's hydroponic farm is possible because of something new on Sal. Tourists. A couple of decades ago, they discovered the white sand beaches, the crystalline seas, and the bargain rates. And because tourists need fresh water, the island built a massive desalination plant. Lobo realized that this plant represented a major opportunity for a modern farmer.
Technology, it's easy stuff. It's not complicated.
Hydroponic farming uses only about half the water of traditional agriculture. Even so, Lobo buys about 100 tons of water every day. It accounts for a third of his costs. Fortunately, his business is thriving, thanks in part to European tourists who expect salad with their meals.
In Sal, I am the king of tomatoes.
Scientists are troubled by the lack of rain in Cape Verde and the swath of Africa just below the Sahara.
We know that in this region, there's a decadal trend which has been downward for rainfall since the late 60s, early 70s.
Greg Jenkins is a meteorologist at Howard University in Washington. He's done field research in this area known as the Sahel. Jenkins says it's not clear whether the drought is permanent or will get worse because of global warming. But if either is the case,
that would have drastic consequences for a place like Cape Verde.
And there are ominous signs. Jenkins says rainfall patterns have undergone a shift.
If you look at the 1990s versus the 1960s in places like Senegal, you see that shift. You say, hey, what happened to all the rain that used to be, you know, to the east of Dakar, the water there? Well, it's shifted, okay? Everything is moved down towards the south.
When weather patterns change, it's places on the borderline, like Cape Verde, that are most vulnerable. They sit right on the margin between climates with a little rain and climates with almost none. Push the weather south just a few degrees, and Cape Verde becomes part of the Sahara. Jose Pimenta Lima is Cape Verde's chief meteorologist. He says the weather has changed noticeably in the past few decades.
When I was a kid, we used to go out into the streets, as one might say, and play in the rain and the running water. And I remember that there was much more water than there is now.
People from other islands tell similar stories. About 300 miles south of Sal is the island of Santiago. It gets a little rain in the mountains, but not much on the coasts. And there aren't enough tourists here to pay for big desalination plants. So for decades, people along the coasts of Santiago have eked out a living by selling sand to the construction industry. A woman named Mafalda says she used to scoop up beach sand in a bucket, then carry it back on her head. When the dry sand ran out, she waded into the surf. Eventually, it became too difficult. Fortunately for Mafalda, Cape Verde was changing. It had gained independence from Portugal in 1975, And during the next few decades, the new republic appealed to the international community for help. By the time Mafalda gave up on sand, the Cape Verde government was working with aid agencies to drill a series of deep wells around Chambom. In some places, engineers drilled more than 300 feet before hitting water, but the effort paid off. It provided drinking water to thousands of residents and allowed Mafalda and several dozen other women to stop digging sand and become farmers. The farming is a bit uncertain. Pump too much water and it turns salty. But for now, the farmers are supporting themselves by selling their crops at local markets. Drive up into the mountains of Santiago and there are patches of green, but not because of wells. Up here, the valleys have small streams, at least during the rainy season. During good years, one of those streams provided just enough water for Pedro de Mora to coax a single crop from a sheer hillside near the village of Lagoa. But as the rain decreased, there were lots of bad years. De Mora says during those seasons, he lost most of his sweet potatoes or sugar cane.
Lots of people gave up not because they want to. Some of them moved to Praia, the capital city, looking for a job.
But now, some of them are coming back. 2 years ago, aid agencies helped the farmers build a concrete sluice that brings water year-round. It's part of a new system that makes the most of every drop that flows through this valley. John Riley works for the nonprofit group ACDI Voca.
We have check dams with reservoirs, and from the reservoirs, the water is fed into these drip irrigation systems, and often you'll have terracing to create space for drip-irrigated cultures.
The techniques aren't new or complicated, but they've transformed the island. De Mora is standing on one of his terraced plots, surrounded by aquamarine cabbages the size of bowling balls. His neighbors grow carrots, lettuce, green beans, and zucchini, and they're getting three crops a year instead of just one. De Mora says he has a lot more neighbors these days.
Like this guy here, had left and worked as a driver in the city. But after the introduction of a new technology, he came back and worked on his farm.
For a while, at least, the harvests have returned to Cape Verde, even if the rain hasn't. John Hamilton, NPR News.
There are more stories about climate change in Africa and videos from public television's Wild Chronicles at npr.org/climateconnections. This is NPR News.